I'm asking you to turn with me to John chapter 18 as we continue in our studies of the 18th chapter. And I know that we are taking your time moving through this, but tonight I want to just take a moment to go back in terms of where we were in our last time together and see how that folds together and how it develops. In our last Lord's Day, we noted that Pilate had been brought into the fray of the trial of Jesus. Remember that they had met with the Jewish leaders and the Jewish authorities, and then they shoved him off to Pilate. They took him off and took him away, took him to Pilate, that Pilate now might be the one to deal with him. Remember the aspect in terms of the Jews brought Jesus to the judgment hall, and then it was kind of like they pushed him in and said, "Here, we won't have anything to do with this. We don't want to defile ourselves, but you go, you go. We want to be clean so we can continue to participate in the feast." Now remember that the Passover feast lasted for 7 days. When we think of having a Christmas dinner or something like that, we have it one day and then that's it. We move on with things. Whereas with the Passover feast, it lasted, protracted for 7 days. So these men had already been engaged in these things, but now they're coming and they want to be very careful that they don't do anything to mess up their opportunity to partake in the Passover feast, the remaining days of the Passover feast. Pilate had come out and he had asked the question, "So what is your charge?" And the Jewish leaders come back. And you know, it's an element where there's a bit of arrogance when they come back and say, "Well, we didn't bring you some innocent person. He's a criminal. Wake up. Who do you think you are?" And we take note. We remember that they said, "We have a law, but our law forbids us," or your laws, we saw last week, forbids us to take part in killing somebody. And we had said in our last time, in terms of their hand was tied because the Jewish court was under civil, was limited to civil authority, not to criminal prosecution. Well, tonight we come to our next section. And I want to develop in terms of several things about this man, Pilate. First of all, who was Pilate? You're familiar with that name. You've heard that. You're familiar with that name. But who was Pilate? We don't know much of his background, but we know that he was the governor of Judea. He was brought there by the Roman government, and he was sent to Judea. Judea was not one of those places where, "Oh man, on my bucket list in life, I just want to be able to go and govern in Judea." Because it was really one of those places where, no, if you can keep me away from going to Judea, I don't want to go there. But instead, he was assigned to go to Judea. So he's the governor in Judea. In that, he was the governor there from AD 26 to AD 37. And so I want you to think of those pivotal years. Here's this man who's brought there, and we'll have more to observe about him next week. But at this point, I just want you to take note. He had his headquarters in Caesarea, which is on the Mediterranean Sea. And he would come up to Jerusalem occasionally when there was some large gathering, when there was something taking place. Then he would come from Caesarea at the Mediterranean Sea, lovely blue water and so forth, you know, to go up then from the palace and from the seaside and all the things there, to go up to Jerusalem. And he would be at the Praetorium Guard location at the end of the temple. And there was the fortress. And so Pilate would come there, and that would be his palace away, okay? And you have some idea of that here in the United Kingdom, because you have multiple palaces where the queen may be. She may be in Windsor, she may be, you know, at Buckingham, she may be up in Edinburgh, at Holyrood. She, who, you know, it just depends on where they are at a given point in time. Well, he would go up from time to time. Now, his place in history is only known from a few sources. First of all, how do we know about Pilate? How has Pilate come across your awareness? Okay? Denise, had you ever heard of Pilate before tonight? Okay. Where had you learned of Pilate? In the Bible. And so I would underscore it. You're right on, okay? That's the number one place where we know about Pilate in history is because of the Bible and the references to him. And number two is the matter of the Jewish historian Josephus. And I'm going to be referring to Josephus tonight in some of the things that he said. And then the Jewish philosopher, theologian named Philo. Philo was in Alexandria, Egypt. Josephus had been captured under the Romans, and then he ended up going and building a favorable relationship with the Romans, and so he wrote a history of the Jewish people, and so you have his Jewish antiquities, and so it gives a lot of historical data, and then they have the Book of Wars, or Books of Wars, that they have in terms of a series of accounts in terms of the wars that the Jews were involved in. Whereas Philo wrote all manner of things. I mean, his stuff is lots and lots of pages. Lots of pages that we have. And there may be much more that we don't have of Philo's materials. But both of them wrote about Pilate. There's one other thing. And that is that in 1961, when they were doing excavation in Israel, they were doing excavation at the area along the Mediterranean Sea in Caesarea, and they open up and they find, one of the things that they uncovered was a stone with the inscription about Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. And I've seen that stone, it's quite interesting, but here is another element there. Now, in the list of the friends of Caesar, and that will come up later in our understanding of the passage, in the list of the friends of Caesar, Pilate's name does not appear. Now, we talked about that back when we were dealing with John 15, when Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, for a servant doesn't know what the master's plans are, what the master is working out and sorting out. He says, but I called you friends. And we went at that point and did a little bit of a study on that. But just to underscore that Pilate was not listed as far as one of the bosom friends or the close friends of the Caesar. So, number one is, who is Pilate? Number two, what was his relationship with the Jews? Well, we know that he was the governor. He was the governor of Judea. I've already established that. I already referred to that. He was the governor of Judea. As the governor, remember that he was the chief representative from Rome for Judea. And then you had the civil court, or the civil government, locally, that had a lot of responsibility and a lot of authority, but, as I've already alluded to, they could not give capital punishment. They could not put a person to death. Well, as the governor, he had begun, in terms of he was going to exercise his authority and he was going to show himself strong and powerful, what does he do? Well, he disturbed the Jews because he decided he was going to bring an image of Caesar into, or a couple of images of Caesar into Jerusalem and park them right in Jerusalem. Wow, that brought a reaction of the Jews. And they refer to these as ensigns that they brought in, but here was an image of Caesar and so his head and so forth, and bring it in. Caesar's the one in charge. Well, the Jews were absolutely enraged at this. And they went from Jerusalem down to Caesarea, and they had a five-day occupy. You remember the Arab Spring the other year and all the occupation of various places and so on? okay, or Occupy Wall Street. You may have heard of that, where you go and you have a, you just sit in and you block and you won't move. Day and night, for 5 days, a group of Jewish people went down there in mass and they just stayed there. Well, Pilate decided, oh, well, this is ridiculous. I'm going to have a meeting with them and I'm going to make them think everything is resolved. So he invites all of them to come into a courtyard and to have a big meeting with them. Except he'd given the soldiers a cue in advance of saying, now, when all the Jews of this massive group, all of them get into the courtyard, I want you to surround them, and on signal, I'm going to have you symbolize my authority because I want you to pull out your swords. So you stand there, but when I give you the signal, you pull out your swords, and we're going to threaten them. And so he meets with the Jews, and he says to them, you must cease and desist. You must back off. You must let me put my image in, and I'm going to be in charge of Jerusalem, and you're going to let me do this. Well, we're going to cut your heads off. And at that moment, all these swords are brandished, and he's figuring, it's going to strike fire. It's going to strike fear into them, and they're going to back off, and they're going to back away. But instead, by the hundreds, the Jews laid down, stuck out their necks and said, cut it off. We will not defy the word of God. We will not defy the law of God. God must be over Caesar. You will not do this. They stuck their necks out. Pilate was utterly shocked. And both Philo and Josephus make reference to this. That in that moment, Pilate blinked. He backed away and he told the soldiers, back away. No, no, don't do this. That was number one. I'm here to tell you that the news of that, getting back to Rome, wasn't happy news because, whoa, this man, already Judea is a tough area, but this guy's stirring the people up. You idiot, what are you doing? But then, a second thing that he did, he had a group of Roman shields. Now, it was a customary thing of the governor who would have a symbolic shield, and according to Philo, they would just have a little inscription in the bottom of the name of the donor of the shield and the date that it had been donated. And that was all that was there. It was a plain shield out of respect for the religious convictions and the Torah of the Jews, saying, no graven images, we won't do this, we're not to have that. Pilate comes on the scene, he says, I'm the governor, I'm in charge, and you're going to do what I tell you to do, and so I'm putting, and he takes a series of shields, and he puts an engraven image on them, and he says, here, we're putting this in the palace, we're putting this in for you, here you are. Well, four of Herod's sons went to Rome. And reading Philo on this, I mean, it's a long speech that they give, and they appeal to the Caesar one after the other, telling about the history of their family and about their rule and about seeking to work and what they had done to contribute and all those things. And they appeal to Caesar of saying, this is, they didn't say over the top, but if they were British, they would say this is over the top. I mean, it was a point of saying, you've got to pull this back. You can't do this. This is going to make more difficulty for us. Caesar ruled of saying to Pilate, Pilate, back off. Take those shields out and don't you dare put those in. Well, Pilate had to back down once again. But see, when a person has to back down, when a person has to submit to a higher law, even if they're accommodated, do they then become happy with that? And the point is, not Pilate, boy. Pilate then, the third thing that he did, he took money that was devoted for the temple, for the Lord, There was not to be no hands-on for any other issue, any political cause, any other thing. This was to be money devoted to the Lord. He took that. Now, it's called Korban, C-O-R-B-A-N. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12. Mark 7, 11 and 12. But ye say, well, let me back up to verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or his father, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now, here's a point where they had the law and the requirement of God of saying, honor your mother, honor your father and mother, and you take care of them, you do for them. And they come along and they say, wait, anything that we would have done, it's korban. That means it's devoted to God, and we can't touch it. So, you know, sorry, you're going to starve. And he says, herein you make the word of God of none effect and by your traditions and so on. But again, the point I'm wanting to underscore is the korban was something that was untouchable. It was to be used, devoted to the Lord and for the ministry of the Lord. Well, Pilate comes along and he takes that money, robs the temple of that money, and having robbed the temple of that money, what does he do? He builds an aqueduct. Well, now, is an aqueduct a valid project? Was it something substantial and so on? Well, the reality is, according to what we understand from history, he used the money to build an aqueduct system to bring water 200 furlongs. Now, a furlong is about 3/4 of a mile or just under a kilometer. So you figure just under 200 kilometers. Now, how far would 200 kilometers take you from here? Okay. How far is from here to Edinburgh, for example? How many kilometers is that? Okay. You're looking at and I'm unsure in terms of the precise, in America, I know how to make the cross calculations in terms of how far with various places, but I'm not familiar with the geography of England sufficiently to make a connection point with you. But the point is, it was a long distance, and he built this aqueduct, so it was a lot of money that he took. And this had been devoted for the Lord and for the Lord's work and for the temple and so on. But he took the money and he expended it on making this aqueduct. Now, if you ever get to see anything of Caesarea, and this didn't fit together, didn't make sense to me until I realized one of the actual shots that I have that flashes on my computer screen, if I haven't used the computer in enough minutes, it's actually part of that aqueduct that's still standing along the Mediterranean Sea. Runs, and so it brought the water system all the way from up north down to bring it to Caesarea. Incredible. And to have that still in existence 2,000 years later, that was good construction. Good quality material. I mean, wow, that was amazing stuff. But that's what they had, and that's what they did. Well, when the Jews protested, he agreed to meet with them. But this time, he had the soldiers go into the middle of them in plain clothes. And he said, don't take your formal sword, don't have anything with you of your formal sword, just go in plain clothes, go in incognito, go in there, stand among them, and yeah. And he said, and when I give you the signal, then I want you to respond to them. Well, the response was, that when the Jews were gathered in and he was meeting with them, then he turns and he has the soldiers turn with daggers and clubs and begin to beat the daylights out of the Jews. Many hundreds were killed at that time. Here was the government, yes. And here was Pilate. So he beats the Jews. Many of them died. Many more were wounded, and wounded very seriously. Well, if you are a Jew at this point, do you think that you would have much of a growing embrace of a man named Pilate? No, you're right. The Jews were not real excited about this guy named Pilate. Now, that wasn't the end. He then had a Roman coin, and as the governor, he was able to, a fourth area then was this matter of the Roman coin. The governor was allowed to have a coin struck, as he's the governor, to identify him. Well, you could pick something, and so sometimes the governor would pick something like a branch of a tree, an olive leaf, or something in those regards. Some symbol, you know, I am the governor, yes, here's the coin in my honor, in my name, and here it is. Not Pilate. Hello? Pilate, what does he do? He gets a pagan image, and he has that stamped on the coin. Now, how frequently do you ordinarily have to use a coin? Well, in a system, in a government where, in an economy where you didn't have swipe cards and you didn't have plastic, okay? And they didn't have paper money, guess what? You had to use a coin anytime you were doing business. So, it becomes a persistent reminder every time you look at the coin of saying, ah, here's this guy, Pilate. Look at this. He put the, oh man, every day as you're transacting business, you have this situation. And again, that made a huge problem. And then Philo tells of one other. And that was he had plans to make a massive image and to take it into the Holy of Holies in the temple, to have an image of himself in the temple right there. Well, they went back to Rome and they appealed to Rome and said, please, they said, even our high priest can only go in one day a week, one day out of the year, and we're talking, and no lesser priest, you know, even really important guys can get in there ever. It's only one time a year for the high priest, and he can't go in and come out and be in and out. He goes in for himself, and then he goes in for the people two times. That's it in a whole year. And this guy is planning that he wants to go in, put the image in, and then be able to have access to come in and out as he wants and gaze at the image of himself. No, don't do that. Don't do that. And they appealed to Rome. Well, I'm only here to tell you that the tensions were enormous in terms of Pilate and the Jews. So, he would stay in Caesarea, but then if there was some big event, he would come up to Jerusalem. Well, remember, it's the time of the Feast of the Passover. And as we've said earlier, when the Feast of the Passover came, it was like Chinese New Year in terms of everybody trying to get back, except they didn't get back just to their home. They came back to Jerusalem. And so in 1993, I was in Jerusalem at the time of Passover. And I will just tell you, it was jam-packed. On a Friday afternoon, when we were in the city of Jerusalem, walking through, you literally had people in front of you, and your chest is against their back, people behind you, and people on either side of you. There was a packed crowd. And here are Israeli soldiers up on, up along the railings on the side, and they're there with machine guns and watching, behave! It was packed. It was Passover time. Well, that was the same situation. So Pilate was out of Caesarea, up in Jerusalem. So remember last week, we looked at this. So verse 28, remember it was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall so that they could eat the Passover. Pilate goes out to them. What are you doing? Come on, let me sleep. What are you bringing this guy for? Well, what do you think? We haven't brought some innocent guy. This is a criminal. You need to deal with it. Verse 31, Then said Pilate unto them, you take him, judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. But the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Who are you? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. Why hast thou done? What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? It's not a theological issue, it's political. Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Well, that brings me then to my third point and final point. How secure was Pilate in power? He comes before Jesus. All right. What are you doing here? What have you done? And then he comes with the additional question. So are you really a king? Pilate walks out and he says to the Jewish crowd, he said, what are you doing? I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him. How secure was he in power? Well, given the above, Pilate was in a very difficult place. Now, it's one of those things in leadership, they always say that you begin with a pocket that is full of change, a full pocket of change. And then you make decisions that are good decisions, and more coins are added to your pocket. And if you make bad decisions, coins are taken out of your pocket. Well, here's the reality. Pilate was down to a bare... Yeah, he didn't even have any pounds left, so to speak, in his pocket. I mean, he was in a rough way. He was down, he had some pence left in his pocket, and that was the extent of it as far as his leadership. In Matthew chapter 27, we find something about him in this circumstance, about how insecure he was. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm looking at verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. Remember, we said he's the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not the many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Now notice verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So he says, there's a power thing in place. There's an issue of power and control. There's something here in place that's happening. Verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Whoa, wait. His wife is there with him in Jerusalem. But it's not a happy, it's not a holiday situation. They're up from the water, they're up at Jerusalem. But his wife is tormented in the night, and she has a dream. And in that dream, she comes and she says, Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. And notice, he's a just man, she describes. It's one of those points where here comes another message that is saying to Pilate, be careful, watch what you're doing. Don't have anything to do with that. Now, verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So here they are, they're fomenting, stirring up discord, doing all they can. We're going to demand this. Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, The blood be on us and on our children. What a difficult circumstance. Here he is. He calls for a bowl of water. And so they bring, here's the governor. They bring him a bowl of water. Yes, sir. What would you like? What do you want in? I just need some water in a towel. Give it here. Bring it here. And in front of the multitude, he says, I wash my hands of this innocent man. And if we could see him at this moment in history, to the best that we know, in 2016, Pilate has been in hell for all these years, trying to wash his hands, trying desperately, the blood of our Lord Jesus upon his hands, then there, and there, and there. He could not wash his hands because he was guilty. It was a very unsettling situation. He later took on the Samaritans and decided, well, I've messed with the Jews, and yes, he sentenced Jesus to death. But in so doing, the Samaritans appealed to Rome, and finally the Roman government said, enough of this guy, and they grabbed him and they pulled him back, intending to execute him in Rome. But in the meantime, before he got to Rome, the emperor died. And so he survived for a time in Rome. Pilate was unique in history. He came on the scene venturing for power, wealth, and fame, but is only known in history for his infamy. Like Judas Iscariot, Judas is known best because of his betrayal of Jesus. Pilate is known best in history as the one who sentenced Jesus to crucifixion. I ask you the question, what will you do with Jesus? Pilate was in a unique position as the governor to make a decision, and he decided that the crowd and the popular ruling was far more important than how he would treat Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. What will you do with Jesus? Let us pray. Oh, our Lord, we realize that all of the water of all the world cannot wash away the stain of our sins. It could not wash away the stain of Pilate's sin. It could not wash it away. A man who was very powerful as the governor cowered in fear because of his own wicked actions. Lord, hear our prayer this night and make real to us who we are and where our faith and hope and trust is. And I pray, as we have prayed earlier on this Lord's Day, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you are the one to whom belongs the glory, the majesty, and the power, forever and ever. Amen.